You're listening to the Legacy Church Podcast, recorded in Liberty Lake, Washington. For more information, jump on our website, legacychurchwa.com.
Good morning, everyone. I'm standing up here, and my head is going, this is how I find my battle. Anybody with me? Like somebody asked once, like, why do Christians sing the words lyrics over and over and over? Do you know how long it takes for a song to move from here to 18 inches down to here? So all of a sudden, it takes a while, then all of a sudden we start believing it, like, oh, wow, how I fight my battles is I fight my battles with worship. I begin to lift up the name of the Lord, and all of a sudden, remember that scripture, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name. All of a sudden, God gets bigger than our circumstances, and that's not even my message today. This is how we fight our battles. And we're Legacy Church is a community of worship. We just lift our hearts and worship. It's not what takes place on here. They're leading us, and we just get to dive in and just touch the heart of God together. So thanks for being here. We are we had a kind of a big day around the Moreno household yesterday. This just happened. Check out the picture there. Right there. Uh-huh. Right there. That's little Ani, I think 7 pounds, 4 ounces, thank you, 7 pounds, 4 ounces came into the world, and there's a couple other, there's big brother with pops there, there's dad, and little Ani, and then Mimi, and Dallas said no pictures of her, so there it is, and there she is, and we're so blessed, so that happened yesterday. And Colton was scheduled to lead worship this morning. I got first text about 6:10 yesterday morning, and he said, ooh, there's rumbling, Dad. This is getting serious. And so I sent him a text back. You may want to get tomorrow morning covered. And sure enough, they went to the hospital at about 11:55, and at 1 o'clock, Ani came into the world. So it was pretty cool. But you didn't come here to hear about my personal life. Come on. So we're in the middle of this series. We're actually getting just into it, and it's exciting. We're talking about people becoming the church, and we're using as a launching pad for this series the book by the same name by Wes Davis, a friend of ours, entitled "People Become the Church." And I just love. My prayer is big. I just want you to know, just going into this series, my heart, my anticipation, I've got big anticipation for what God wants to do just as a result of this time together in God's Word and what He may be saying to all of us. And so last week, we kicked it off with our first challenge. People becoming the church is going to be 12 challenges, 12 walls or obstacles, things that we just need help getting over. Sometimes Christians, sometimes Christ followers can get high-centered in their faith in some of these areas. And last week was, our first challenge was say yes to Jesus every day. And we have to realize that, you know, it's great to say Jesus one time, and, you know, pastors are really big about, gosh, we gotta cross the line of faith, and we get people to say yes to Jesus. We don't get them to say it, but they have opportunity. We have opportunity for people to respond and say yes to Jesus and invite him into their hearts. But how many of you know saying yes to Jesus happens more than one time at salvation? It's literally a perpetual relationship. It's something that we take into our relationship with Christ day in and day out, and the more we say yes to Jesus, I'm just telling you, there's growth that takes place and happens. And as it relates to this series, all of the other challenges really are hinged on this one. At any time, at any place, Jesus could be speaking. This is all just review, and we don't want to miss it. He speaks to us in various ways by His Word, the Bible, by the church, so messages like this, or gathering in our connect groups, through godly people, through our parents, through circumstances. And last week I mentioned something that I was kind of wrestling with after I said it, and I didn't want to be misunderstood, that the sense that every time our spouse says something that's that we ought to say yes, that it's Jesus talking and we ought to say yes to that. None of you are laughing, but it was kind of funny, because at 3 a.m. when my wife says, could you take puppy out so that he can do his business out, you know, how many of you know that's not Jesus right there? That's not. But all kidding aside, our spouse, our relationship with our significant other, our spouse is can very much be the heart of Jesus. And so we just need to be open to however he might be speaking. I want you to know that Jesus is speaking, and we have an opportunity to respond. Yes, the second challenge that we're going to be talking about today is as it relates to being teammates. Teammates. What could be challenging about teammates or being teammates? Last week, again, we talk about people that, and as we talk about teammates, we're talking about people that help us get across the goal line. Last week, I used the analogy of the handoff from the quarterback to the running back in the red zone from kind of 5 yards out. The running back takes the ball, runs, and hits this mass of humanity, right? This wall of testosterone, and he disappears in the crowd of bodies. And there's this scrum that takes place, right? Because he's trying to get the 5 yards or 3 yards into the end zone. And so often what happens is that running back will be kind of stood up and he's like on his toes and he's not even running anymore. His team is literally just trying to push him in. The offensive line, tight ends, everybody is trying to push him over the line. And if he scores, it's a team effort for sure. Teammates. And the way to get a good teammate is to be a good teammate. And we're going to talk about what does that mean to kind of help each other. Because the idea of teammates, and here's the challenging part, it flies in the face of doing things solo, isolation, by yourself, lone ranger. And there are a lot of things you can do by yourself, a lot of things that we can do by yourself. And I'm contending today that following Jesus is not one of them. Isn't that interesting? That might stir you a little bit. Following Jesus is not one of them. Let me tell you something kind of that might seem strange to you that I used to do as a 10, 11, 12-year-old. I would go to this parking lot. I'd walk down Commerce with a wooden baseball bat. And I'd go behind the old deserted Masonic lodge that was there, down the street from where I grew up. And I would go there behind this Masonic lodge. It was a massive parking lot. And I would hit rocks. So I'd take rocks and I'd toss them in the air and I'd just swing a bat, a old wooden bat. So it was all nicked and marred on the end. I just liked hitting rocks. But you would have seen a kid, if you're looking out your window, you'd have seen a kid hitting rocks in a parking lot. I was playing baseball. So what I would do is I'd go over there and this was baseball to me, so I'd stand there with a rock, and it was just in a kind of bunch of gravelly rocks all around me. And I'd stand there, and in my head, and I say in my head, it was probably coming out of my mouth too. I was setting up the scenario, but I was setting up the scenario in my best rendition version of Vin Scully's voice. See, I grew up a Dodger fan, and I grew up around Vin Scully, so I would stand there, and I would say, bottom of the ninth, two men on. The batter coming up to the plate, the young right-hander, Gary Moreno. Gary Moreno, you know, and I'd set up the whole thing. I'd stand there like this with my bat talking in my mind. I don't know, it could have been. You're thinking to yourself right now, like, there's medication for that. You could set it. But I would set up the scenario, and depending on what the scenario was, and depending on how I hit the rock, if like it sailed, it was a home run, and it was, you know, You just had, you learn how to do that, or if it kind of dribbled, or if I missed it, or whatever. It was like one and one the count. I mean, I was Vin Scully, and I was whoever that batter was at that moment. And again, you're looking at me weird. But honestly, I enjoyed that, but I didn't enjoy that as much as I enjoyed playing on my Little League or Babe Ruth baseball team or the high school baseball team. I also enjoyed playing over the line with sometimes 4 to 6 guys could play over the line. We'd meet at a park and we'd play this version of baseball. I enjoyed that more. Playing baseball by yourself is weird. It doesn't really work well. In the same way, neither does being a Christ follower. We need teammates around us. It ought to give us the same kind of feeling, like, really? You're a Christian all by yourself? Like, you don't even, I go it alone. That's what I do. See, the church is no different. There are parts of it you can do alone. Like, I was really trying to think, like, okay, you could have your personal devotions alone. That's great. And then you can also, and I was like, what? There's really nothing else. What I'm trying to convey to you is that the big idea today is you just can't. You can't walk this out. And we really ought not even try to walk this thing out called the Christian life by ourselves. So today, I want to give you 7 good and 7 God reasons why you need teammates. Good and God reasons why you need teammates. Number one, let's dive right in, is you were not designed to go it alone. You and I were not designed to go it alone. You can hit rocks in the field, like I did, and you can even provide your own commentary, but you're going to be your best when you're surrounded by a team, people who know you, people who love you, people who believe in you, and you believe in them. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, 2 people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. They can help each other succeed. That goal line example. See, we're hardwired for companionship. God, the triune Godhead, whose image we are made in, designed us this way. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are relational at their core. And so if we live lives that are God-breathed, then guess what? We are relational at our core. Genesis 1:27, God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. He is relational, therefore we are relational. You were not designed to go it alone. This is not Jack Johnson's idea. There's no combination of words I can put on the back of. Come on. Jack Johnson, we're better together. Yeah, we are better together. So you weren't designed to go it alone. Secondly, you can't grow to your full potential. You can't grow to your full potential all by yourself. 7 good reasons, 7 God reasons why we need teammates. Webster defines, and I got stuck on that word potential. You can't grow to your full potential. The word potential means, here it is, latent qualities or abilities that may be developed and lead to future success or usefulness. Latent means that it's present in the person, but it's just not expressed yet. How many of you had people that saw potential in you when you were just a young kid? And they called it out. This morning in first service, I called it out. And Lainey wasn't in the first service, but because I see potential in her. I see it in all the 3 young ladies at the front, by the way. But I see potential. I see the way she serves. I see the way she gets involved. I see the way she helps. I see the way she just dies in, willing to get these ladies are willing to get their hands dirty and do that. You know what? That's potential that God's going to use. People call that out. We call that out in, you know, in 10, 12, 15, 16, 17, 20, even 20-year-olds. Man, there's so much potential. You're 30 years old. If somebody's saying you have so much potential, you ought to be a little concerned. If you're 40 years old, they say, well, you have so much potential. You ought to be a little, maybe even more concerned. 55, you're, what? You got so much. It means you need to start expressing that potential. We call it out of kids because we see it. Potential is a great word. You can't grow to your full potential without teammates. Key word there is grow. Like little Ani, baby Ani, right? Between now and 1 year of age, there's going to be so many changes in the little baby. Hair is going to grow. Start seeing a little evidence of her personality coming out. So little signs, and between 1 and 5, some differences, new changes and nuances, more personality. 5 and 10, we just see it. And we'll all look at Ani's life and we'll say, yes, that's as it should be. Now, I'm saying that's as it should be for a Christ follower. We ought to be growing, but we grow best in relationships with other people. Growing in Christ means changes in us happen. We're not the same stuck person. Anybody with me? The thing that helps us grow to our full potential is getting around other people. We grow up most when you're helping somebody else grow. Amen. Thank you. We grow to our full potential when we open ourselves up. When we open ourselves up to hear some of the hard things that we need to hear about ourselves. And that takes a level of trust. That takes relationship, doesn't it? Like I would be okay. Matt came up to me and pulled me aside and said, "Hey, Garrett, listen. You know, just there's something. It's hard for me to share this, but because I love you and I believe in you, and then whatever that is, which I it would be hard for him to find something, but I'm sure there could be. And for him to tell me that whatever that truth is." Marked with grace, I could receive that and say, "Man, thank you. That is a blinder." Because how many know we all have blinders? Anybody? We all have blind spots. We have blind spots. We don't see clearly. And my wife said, "Amen." There's something about another person speaking truth to your life, truth and grace. See, we grow to our kingdom potential by carrying some spiritual weight. We do that in a team. In a team, it's just expected. Listen, if you're on a team, football, basketball, whatever team, basketball, whatever you want to say, if you're not pulling your weight, you're not staying in the game. I played enough sports to know. Moreno, you're slouching out there. What are you doing? You're being lazy. You're not getting back. You're not getting back on defense. What are you doing? Quit hanging your head. In fact, why don't you sit down and think about it for a while? Wow, okay. Because you're carrying some weight. When you're part of a team like this, Christ followers, you carry some spiritual weight and responsibility. Here's a question that maybe we ought to ponder. Where are you involved that the church is counting on you? Crickets. Jesus wants us to grow to our full potential. And it happens best in community. That's all. In fact, I hope you feel encouraged today. The Bible says, Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. A friend sharpens a friend. So when you feel a little bit of rub, when you get around somebody like, they just irritate me. There's a scripture for that right here. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. You're just being sharpened. Who's sharpening you? Third good God reason you need teammates is, here it is, social media friends are not enough. Somebody needed to hear that today. Even if it was for one, I wrote this. Face-to-face is always best. You can't have enough social media friends to make up for what is needed in face-to-face life-giving relationships with people. Listen, face-to-face is always better. In fact, one psychologist said these words. She said, social media gives the illusion of companionship without the demands of friendship. Isn't that interesting? A study by Dr. Dunbar writes these words about social media. While our brains can tell the difference between chatting online and in-person social interactions. Isn't that funny? I love that. Your brain can tell the difference. That even means that the late night hours spent engaging in conversation with strangers online takes away from the energy we have to care for people that we actually know offline in real life conversations. It seems, the study continues, that we can only handle about 150 friends. Did you know that? Your brain doesn't have capacity beyond that, the study shows. Somebody say, well, I don't know, I've got 1,259 friends. 150. And in fact, we deal with them in like, you got to see them like in layers. Or so you have the, like, friend 1 through 5, they're your closest friends. You need to interact with them like one time a week for them to maintain that spot in your friendship rings. And then there's the outer, like 15 friends. You still consider these close. You need to interact with them about once every month. Once every month keeps them in that, because they're your 15 top friends. I got to say something. I got to give a shout out. Hey, thinking about you today or whatever. That's in your 1 to 15. Or maybe call them. Then there's the 150. The 150 just need one contact every 1 year. And that doesn't count your family. Your family is not even in that because, you know, we just kind of pick up with family. At least you hope you do. We hope we're supposed to, right? That's just a given. This is exhausting, just thinking about this, trying to manage this. Social media is never a prescription for staving off boredom or anxiety or loneliness. At the end of the day, your favorite people are. And I love this last quote. Friends exist to provide us with shoulders to cry on when things fall apart, Dunbar says. No matter how sympathetic someone may be on Facebook or even Skype or FaceTime, in the end, it's having a real shoulder to cry on. Imagine that, a real shoulder to cry on that makes the difference to our being able to cope. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. In other words, it's better to just have a few, one, just true friend, one who knows how to see beyond the mood that you're in today. One who knows how to see you in spite of how you're feeling or how you're communicating. They just believe the best in you. They know God's calling on your life, and they call that out and they believe that about you. Let me give you the fourth one, good or God reasons why we ought to have teammates. Jesus had his teammates. In fact, Jesus picked his teammates, and I think, I'm proposing today, let him pick yours. Let him pick yours. Because I believe he knows what he's doing. In fact, I've been in enough not much anymore, but elementary school. How many of you remember these days, like maybe during PE and junior high or middle school, when you just had free time to play and I'd run to the basketball court with all the guys. We'd shoot around for a little while, and then it's time to pick teams, right? And somebody said, okay, everybody up against the wall, right? Everybody up against the wall, and you go up against the wall. Okay, Kevin and Rick, you guys are the captains. Kevin and Rick are standing out there, right? They're, okay, I'll pick Moreno, or I'll pick, you know, and I'll pick. And maybe depending on when it was, there were times like when I was a freshman, like just the littlest guy trying to play with a ninth grader, trying to play with the seniors. You're hard-pressed to get picked first round. Second round, still standing there. Third round, like, what in the world's wrong? Why, what? But they don't know you, so they don't know you, so they're not going to pick you. It's brutal, right? How many have been the last 1, 2, or 3 standing against the wall? Anybody? that doesn't feel good, does it? And then they say something like, like they have one pick on each team. Here's an example of something I've heard. Pick up one pick left, and they see like three of you. You can have all three of them. We'll play with four. You can have the last three. How does that make you feel? That's how we pick teams. See, we pick based on somebody that's going to contribute, somebody's going to help us win, somebody that looks good, somebody's got talent. We have criteria. I'm proposing today again. Let's see how Jesus picks teams. I think we ought to let him pick. One day, as Jesus was walking, Matthew 4, along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets, and he called them to come too. And they immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father. He didn't get picked. Their father behind. So what do I mean by let him pick yours? I believe Jesus knows the kind of friendships that we need. He knows the kind of people I need in my life. And it's interesting when I look at this, Jesus picks ordinary people. He wasn't searching for the elite or the overly gifted. He just found people who he thought would be willing to go on mission with him. Maybe a little rough around the edges. How many are glad he picks people that are rough around the edges? Don't look at your neighbor. Common people who were not necessarily trying to hide their warts. And they immediately left everything to follow him, the Bible says. So they weren't hung up on creating their earthly identity and kingdom. I mean, aside from Judas, some might say that was a tough pick there. Peter had a little falling out, but he rebounded. Here's the question I want to ask today, actually a couple. Can I trust Jesus to surround me with the kind of teammates that he knows I need? Can I trust him to put around me the kind of people that he knows I need? And then I'll ask, in addition to that, can I trust that he's going to lead me to be a teammate, you to be a teammate to someone who needs you? This helps us realize that life, this thing called life, is not all about us, not all about me, not all about my comfort. Somebody needs our help over the goal. Somebody's going to need our help getting through, getting over the wall, busting through the line, getting on top. People where we can ask questions like this. I love this question. Where do you feel like you're not winning? Where do you feel like you're not winning? And how can I help? Isn't that a great question? See, what happens is oftentimes as Christ followers, we get really comfortable just hanging out with people like us. No EGRs here, man. Come on in. You look like us. Come on in. But to be able to help somebody else. So, can I trust him to surround me with the kind of teammates he knows I need? And then someone who needs me. I'm proposing let Jesus be the captain this time. I'm proposing in this season of your life, and maybe this season as Legacy Church, as we get ready to conclude year one and move into year two, let him be the captain. Let me jump into some relationships with some people, some connect groups or whatever, to where I just get around people that God, you might think need me and that I need in my life. Let me give you another one. Good God reasons why you need teammates. since we're talking about picking, that you need to find a Matthew. You need to get a Matthew on your team. You need someone on your team, here it is, ready, that you wouldn't pick. I ain't picking Kevin. I ain't picking him. In other words, picks that no one wants on the team. There's good evidence, in fact, that Matthew was someone that they didn't want on their team, the disciples, the other guys. But they weren't picking. Jesus was picking. That's what happens when you let Jesus pick. I'm just telling you. Look at Matthew 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciples. Be my disciple, Jesus said to him. And I don't know if the other disciples were standing behind him, but could you see him going? Jesus said, follow me, be my disciple. And Matthew got up, this tax collector, this friend, this guy that worked for the Roman government, this guy that demanded money from people. Many saw him, the Jewish community saw him as an enemy. They would not pick him. I wouldn't pick him. Jesus picked him. Watch what happens. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. And when the Pharisees, the religious leaders, saw this, that Jesus responded, he said, yeah, I'll be there. Answered the Evite, yeah, we're there. They asked his disciples, the Pharisees did, why does your teacher eat with such scum? When Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. The religious leaders were thinking either he doesn't get the protocols of the day. He's certainly not one of us. And I could hear Jesus say, certainly not. No, you got that right. He doesn't know what's permissible, clearly. He's out of sorts. He's not a true leader of the things of God. Either Jesus forgot the protocols of the establishment, or he just refused to comply to them because he cared about the heart of the one he called. And not only the one he called, but the one he called who had a lot of friends who had nothing to do with the establishment or the church. So he said, yes, I will gladly go to the party and meet your friends. How many of you know we need to start hanging out with some Matthews? Jesus was on mission, and he was demonstrating to his disciples, this is how you respond. If Matthews stop coming to the church, new people will stop showing up because Matthews have tons of friends who are outside of the church. We all need to find Matthews. I served on staff at what would be considered a large church in Coeur d'Alene, Lake City. Many of you know that. Many of you have been a part of that church. My portfolio demanded that I oversaw the worship. I oversaw the creative arts, so everything we put on the screens or the set design or from the street to the seat, my responsibility was, besides being one of the teaching pastors, as Patty and I were, my job was the services. Lobby would make sure that looks great and everything thematically and that the screen colors match the colors of the wall. And how do you know even pastors can get so caught up in making sure this is all good that we forget to get on mission and start hanging out with some Matthews? That was kind of dramatic, wasn't it? You need to find a Matthew. That's probably a God reason we need teammates. We need to find some Matthews. We need to make it our prayer Oh God, don't let us lose sight of the mission, creating opportunities for people to encounter Jesus in life-changing ways. It's not just the mission statement of Legacy Church when you walk in the doors. It's, we pray, the mission statement of Legacy Church out there. I want to create opportunities for people to encounter Jesus in life-changing ways out there. Means inviting them around our table. Means going out to go and grabbing a cup of coffee with them. Good God reason, you need teammates. The sixth one, this is probably just a good one. Because surprises abound. Surprises abound. When you go Jesus' way, you will discover, get this, rewarding relationships. Even enemies could become friends. You're like, wow, I don't know how this happened. There was something about it. We just started hanging out. There was just something that broke. I saw a side of that person I didn't see before. When you say yes to Jesus, when you surround yourself with new teammates, new friendships are forged. Surprise, the surprise is new friends begin to surface. And in the 11 months that we've been able to launch Legacy Church, we celebrate 1 year on October 14th. Some of the sweetest people have surfaced. Let's look around this room. God's got some amazing relationships in store for you. He's got some surprises. Got some people like, I wasn't even expecting that. Didn't even know that was coming. We've already experienced it. I as we gathered as men yesterday at our men's breakfast, right over here at Barlow's in the back room, reserved, 16 signed up. They had the place settings there, and 16 signed up, and 20-some showed up. And they just kept coming in, and just kept coming in. And I became more and more just overwhelmed with the favor of God. And there's nothing like men chatter. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm just sitting there enjoying it. Men chatter. It's healthy. Guys engaging in brand new relationships. Hey, what's your name? What do you do? There they go. Let me give you the last one. God reasons why you need teammates. You get to discover koinonia. You get to discover koinonia. What's koinonia? It's in Acts chapter 2. It's a Greek word. Found in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. That's that word, fellowship. And to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And to meals, sharing meals. Something about that. I'm just glad about that, by the way. Koinonia is this idea of being knit together, woven together. Three-stranded cord. In fact, Ecclesiastes 4:12 says a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I need that in my. I need those kind of people in my life. I need those kind of brothers. We need those kind of couples. This idea of koinonia expresses the profound kind of reality of God, our relationship with God. And listen, the overflow of this relationship with God overflows to relationship with people. It's something that's deep. It's something that's just the heart of God. Koinonia has five or six English words to describe the one word. It's fellowship, it's communion, it's participation, it's sharing, it's partnership, it's contribution. It's kind of arrows out. In fact, the concept koinonia has three basic traits. It's a gracious relationship. It's that sort of movement of just sharing. It's a gracious relationship. It's spontaneous.
Like some of you are going, nah, not very spontaneous.
That's not my wiring. We always default to our wiring, don't we? Hang on. It's self-transcending. That sounds kind of new agey, but here's what it means. A koinonia conscious church is extroverted. It looks outside of itself. It's not going to allow the limitations of my wiring to dictate the level of friendship that I engage in. Isn't that good? I'm an introvert. You probably wouldn't know that. I get in a room full of guys, a big room of guys, and I know I got to say, hey, listen up, everyone. I'd rather be the guy, you know. He's going to say something to you. But Jesus has called me to this moment, to this season, to this time, to not be limited by the wiring in me, but to function with the power of the Holy Spirit to lead a community of faith and to gather around men and gather around people and lead a church into this community and believe that he's going to do things that are extraordinary by his might and his power. But listen, it doesn't happen with a Gary and Patty leading the way. It happens with a community of faith. People saying, yes, we're on board. We're going. We're running. We're going to do this. Let's do it for such a time as this. Why not? Why wouldn't we? Koinonia. I experienced an answer to prayer. The day that my wife said, Patty said, I have a friend that wants to go bike riding with me. That was an answer to prayer. I said, oh my goodness. In fact, when I met the couple, I said, you are an answer to prayer. I'm praying that my wife would find somebody that could really ride long distances and up really high, tall hills. And one day, not long ago, a few weeks back, Patty got a text from this couple, this girlfriend, and said, hey, we got an extra campsite. It's open. And we discovered that our parents and we can share one, and so we just got this site there. Would you guys like to come and camp? Farragut. Yeah. She asked me, and I said, yeah, that would be awesome. Let's do it. Took our little pop-up, set it up over there, and we were at the spot, and they were over there, their family, their parents. And we shared meals together. And their kids came running over and petted our puppy that we brought. They shared meals with us. We shared meals with them. Firewood, sat around fire, s'moring together. How many know that camping is kind of, that's like inner circle stuff. That's family. Like, really? We don't invite people to our campouts. That's our family. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of private. You know what it was? It was koinonia. It was koinonia. There was this shared time over a meal. I don't know. We even threw a bike ride in there in Jesus' name. It was awesome. I'm saying today is we have good in God reasons to be fine teammates. You weren't designed to go it alone. You can't reach your full potential by yourself. Iron sharpens iron. Social media friends aren't enough. Jesus had teammates. Let him pick yours. Find a Matthew. Find somebody you normally wouldn't pick. surprises await and abound. There are new friendships that God wants to open up to your life. And go out and experience koinonia. Here's what you learn. I close with this passage. John chapter 13. Jesus speaking, he says, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Prove to the world that you are my disciples. How do we love the people out there if we can't, right? If we struggle with. We get that. That wiring piece is strong. Hey, turn around and greet some people before you're seated. I get it. Yeah. This morning, before the service, first service started, one guy was here, and he was introducing me to his friend. Here's what he said. He said, "We met in a church service, not here." He said, "Week in and week out, we kind of sat in the same zip code area of the church. Week in and week out, turn around, hey, how you, hey, good to see you. Next week, hey, whoa, hey, you're here again, yeah." See, finally, about the third or fourth week, he said, "Hey, goodness," and went, "Let's go get coffee." And now they're dear friends. They came, we're here in the service today. That's how it works. It's just letting the wall, just, you know what, let's go grab coffee. Let's go get a meal. Find an excuse to express some koinonia together. Take your cards out, if you would, your connection card in your program. On the back, there's some boxes and areas where you can respond. We reference this every week. Today I made the decision to follow Jesus. I'd like to be water baptized. I want to learn more about growth track, which is, you'll be hearing more about that in the weeks ahead. It's a leadership training module that we're starting. I will decorate my car for trunk or treat. I mean, you know, sometimes that's a meeting to figure out how to put the language down on a box. That's a meeting right there. Like, I will decorate my car for trunk or treat. You saw the car out here. Here's what that is. You know what that is right there? That is Legacy Church saying, you know what? We want to be arrows out in this community. We want to find some Matthews. So we're willing to put on a dinosaur suit or some kind of silly thing and decorate a trunk of a car or two. If you got two cars, bring them both. Decorate them. Throw some candy in there and hand it out. And just be Jesus too. I mean, why, if Jesus would go to the party of Matthew, why wouldn't we throw some candy in our trunk in Jesus' name? Amen. The last one is I'll give prayerful thought about gathering weekly around a table with friends. Because I guarantee around your neighborhood, around our apartment complex, I know we're right in the middle of Matthews and just some dear, dear people. And sharing a meal and just be awesome. So I will give prayerful thought about gathering weekly around a table with some friends here or in your neighborhood or just however. I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward. Why don't you bow our heads and close your eyes with me? I want us to pray. And I want to ask this question as the ushers are coming. I mentioned earlier that the probably the most important yes is to say yes to Jesus and yes in beginning a life of faith, walking with Christ. And if you're here and you've never said yes to Jesus, but today you're in your heart, maybe your heart's pounding, maybe like, ah, I need to start that relationship. I need to engage in that pathway. I want to just pray for you today. I'm not going to have you stand. I'm not going to embarrass you, have you come forward. I just want to pray for you in my closing prayer. But if that's you today and you say, I want to say yes to Jesus today. I want to live for him. You've never prayed that prayer. A prayer of inviting Jesus, prayer of invitation to invite him into your heart. Would you lift your hand up, put it right back down? I don't want to miss. There's one today. I want to invite Jesus into my heart. I've never done that before. I need to begin the journey today. Put your hand up. Put it right back down. I want to pray for you. I'm just looking to my left and I'm looking to my right. I don't want to miss anybody today. All right. And for the rest of us, you would raise your hand with me indicating this. I want to be a teammate. I want to be a teammate that God can use. That God can delight in. And any of this today kind of ministered and spoke to your heart, just lift your hand up with me. I want to be a better teammate. I want to be a better teammate. Yeah. Help us, Lord. Jesus, I know you see our hands and our hearts. I thank you that your Holy Spirit takes the words, God, that I speak and you speak by your Spirit things that maybe were not even said. Or maybe were just reiterated in a different way or a meaningful way to our journey of faith. Where we are. God, I thank you for teammates. I thank you for Legacy Church. God, we may not get all the pieces right. We're not trying to convince this community that we do church right. But we want to love well. We want to serve it well, Lord. While we have breath, we want to reach it well, Lord. Not from the building out, Lord, but from our homes out. From our places of employment out, our businesses out. And then to come here, Lord, and just celebrate what you're doing. Create opportunities for people to encounter Jesus and see futures rewritten for the glory of God. That's what we desire. So take all of these efforts, God. Take these words today and take these gifts, these offerings today, these tithes and offerings and the faithfulness of this people to respond and worship to you. Multiply it for your purposes, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.